So, yes, we're going to history. We're going 100 years ago. And we've found a bit that's talking about the exact same issues that we've just been talking about, which is roading around Raglan and Whangaroa. John, is that just always the topic? Wherever you look in history, we're always talking about our roads?
Well, the reason local government was formed in the first place was to build roads. So they local settlers arrived, and the only way they could get around at that time was on sailing boats. And if you weren't actually next to a harbour or a river, then and you had land somewhere else, then your first interest was to have a road to carry you and your goods to and from wherever the nearest landing point was.
And I just want to qualify. I did say whenever we look at our history, I should say this is our colonial and post-colonial history that I'm referring to. Obviously,
this is 1924, so a century ago.
Yeah. That must have been quite the thing. I know stories about people who bought land on paper in England and came out to New Zealand to discover, for instance, that it was hilly and not flat like they had assumed. But also getting to arriving and you've got a farm somewhere that's technically yours, it's covered in a forest and there are no roads to it. That must have been quite the experience.
Yeah, because there's stories about particularly the Tamata area being so densely forested with kaikatea that you couldn't even take a horse there. So the trees were just too close together for a horse to get through. So the only way to get there was to walk there. When you look at Tamata now, you might wonder at that because there's only a few stands of kaikatea left.
But yeah.
Since the settlers came, then it's completely transformed that landscape.
Yeah.
But yeah, a century ago it was in March 1924, the local town board decided that they wanted to change Bow Street from being an area. You look at the earlier photos and they've got people strolling around and these huge areas of grass. So in 1924, they changed it to pretty much the current layout.
With the traffic islands that we're talking about.
Yeah. Uh-huh. With just a few strips of grass down the middle and most of the area. At that time, they covered it in limestone, but of course, since then, it's been tar-sealed. So the only essential change since 1924 has been the tar-sealing. And I'm never quite sure when I look at the old photos whether I can see the palm trees as saplings or whether it's just the sort of bit of rough grass or something, but there are sort of little lumps down those bits of grass. I'm saying
rough grass, John. I'm saying rough grass.
The lawnmowers weren't too good in those days. Yeah.
No, well, the lawnmowers, you had to walk them in from somewhere else and control them while they ate the grass. So, yeah. Oh, well, no, they did have mechanical lawnmowers then, but they were all like human-powered ones. So I don't know what they did then, but, I mean, they were interested in – they had a beautification society that planted the Pohutukawas along Cliff Street, and you can see, and we're looking at a photo from 1924, and the Norfolk pines down the end are already growing, already, what I would say, 10 metres high at the most?
Yes, yep. Well, they're only about the height of the house, aren't they?
So. Yeah, probably not even 10. They are much bigger. It's already got a lean on it, that one.
Maybe, yeah.
It still alarms me when I walk down the steep part of Bow Street and look at those Norfolk pines. One of the lean that one of them is on is very alarming, but it's always been like that I can recall.
You could see the harbour in those days as well, which you can't, well, only with difficulty in sort of tiny little bit of it these days.
Yeah. So anyway, so back to the roading. So yeah, they made Bow Street all nicey'd up. And what else were they doing, John?
Well, they also considered whether to widen Cliff Street and decided that they weren't going to because they could have required the owners along there to give up their front gardens and widen the road, but they decided not to.
Is there a danger that could happen 100 years later?
I don't know whether the same legislation's in place, maybe.
Okay.
The same political constraints that were on them then would be on them now, but it wouldn't be a popular thing to do.
No.
And that they also were still spending money on the main road, which they just got all the gravel on at that stage, and we're still improving it. In particular, at Fotafota, they put in a new bridge. So that's not the current bridge that was built in the 1970s, I think, but replaced the one that was rebuilt in 1924.
So it says here, can I read it, John? £1,150 was spent on the main road in 1924 and £1,400 in 1925. And at Fotafota, a new truss bridge was built over the old bridge for £7,000. When they say they built it over the old bridge, what does that mean? In the same place?
Well, I think the old bridge gave it foundations, as far as I can make out, because they were using timber. The old bridge was giving way. So effectively, you could think of it as a new bridge or think of it as the old one that was strengthened. But one way or another, it was built so that it could stand the traffic up until the 1960s.
Yep.
But they were still not clear that the main roads were the thing of the future, because there were still people talking about the railways being important. And it was about that time that the government decided that they were going to spend a lot more money on the roads than they were on the railways. And that's been a century of investment ever since that we're still seeing. The government's just Waka Kotahi's just decided to cut back on the funding for Tuhuia, the train that I came on to Auckland to get up here.
Yeah. So, John, can I read the quote from the councillor? It says, one councillor said the main road from Hamilton to Auckland would never be a main road as the railway took that role.
Yep. Seems to me a very reasonable view to take, but that wasn't the view that was taken by the Reform government at that time. They decided that they were going to support roads much more than railways.
Yeah.
It was only when the Labour government came in, was it 1935, that changed a bit. But then there were more national governments after that. So whenever there's been a national government, they seem to have cut back on the railways. And whenever there's been a Labour government, they seem to have spent more money on them.
So that's not a recent thing. Not a recent thing then, John.
Because even going back to 1913, even before motor traffic was all that common, the Reform government at that time were still cutting back on the new railway schemes.
Okay, didn't like railways.
My suspicion is that the railway unions were much better organised than the road unions, and that was the reason. But I've never actually seen an explanation as to why Labour support railways and National don't.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Leaping ahead into this, there's a meeting at Waitatuna School unanimously voted for £2,000 for a £2,000 loan to metal Waitatuna Valley Road. So this is before the deviation, obviously.
No, the deviation had been in existence for about 10 years by then.
Okay, not obviously. I got that wrong.
So this is Waitatuna Valley Road, not Old Mountain Road.
Yeah.
It's the road that goes up the valley and is still a gravel road at the end of it.
So, John, the deviation's actually over 100 years old. I actually didn't know that. Excuse my ignorance.
Yeah, well, it's gradually been improved. So in 1924, it was still a very narrow winding road. More improvements came in 1928, and then there were more improvements still in the 1970s. And then there was a proposal to straighten this side of the deviation in, what was it, early 2000s. But that one didn't come to anything. So, there have been various ideas for what to do with the main road over a bit over a century. Because it only opened very slowly. It was started about 1907, and it was in use by about 1911. But there doesn't seem to have been any sort of official opening. It's just that it gradually got more and more use.
Right.
And gradually got more and more improvements. But as we know, it's still not a perfect road.
No, that's true. But we like it better than when we didn't have it at all, as we found out last year.
Well, Old Mountain Road has a steeper gradient than the deviation, which was one of the reasons for not continuing with it.
Oh, okay. And moving on, a pole to raise £18,000, which, and by contrast to those other figures, is quite a lot, for Road Metley and their Tiako Wangaro ridings, was won by 279-59. So that's the local residents voting, is it, to spend their own rating money on Metlin roads?
Well, when councils took out a loan, they needed to get voters to approve the loan. So all these things had to go to a vote, which is why the railway got squashed or quashed, because there was a campaign to vote against it. And it also included quite a lot of areas that wouldn't have benefited much from the railway.
Yeah.
The previous year, they'd voted against having a railway, but they did vote in favour of these improvements, which were generally at that time to change what was a mud road into a gravel road.
That's, John, that's quite democratic, really. Every time the local representatives wanted to raise a loan, they actually had to go back to the constituents to do it.
Yep. I don't know when that system went out. Because now we have the equivalent in the annual plan or the long-term plan, but it's not actually a vote. And as we know, councillors can ignore the submissions that are made to those.
Mm, okay. Moving on, and the July report says there's a proposal that Wangaro Raglan Landing be metalled, and there's also a possibility of establishing a ferry capable of carrying vehicles. Did that ever happen?
No. The ferry hadn't existed all that long. It was set up in the early 1900s, and it existed really until the road started to improve, because it was a rather shorter route if you were coming on the stagecoach from Narawahia through to Wainaro Landing, and then coming on the oil launch from there across to Raglan. Given the state of the roads in those days, it was preferable to be travelling by water and coming straight across the harbour rather than going round it on the very poor roads at that time.
Mm. I'm intrigued by the idea that we've kept the word landing for naming areas around this country, but not riding.
The landings were where the boats met up with the horses and carts. We've kept the landings as places where that happened, whereas the ridings were simply areas that were local authority administrative areas. So but essentially they were intended to be an area that the local councillor could ride round in a day. So why the ridings.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Now I want to bring this bit in. If you're ever unhappy with the state of the roads, consider this. Back in 1924, the Rānui station manager lost a horse when it fell through a bridge on Ohotira Road, Okiri Road, at the Three Streams end. John, can you help us out with this?
It was fairly common for bridges to get in such a bad state that they people fell through them or fell off them or whatever, and sometimes the bridge collapsed altogether.
Wow.
It was only, 1917 when the bridge at Narawahia over the Waipa collapsed altogether when a herd of cattle were being taken over it.
Oh, right. That would do it. Yeah. Okay. That's the standard. Like, we do complain about our roads a lot, but honestly, that's a profound improvement.
Yeah, well, each stage has been an improvement. I think we've discussed several times before that the population of Raglan's depended on the transport.
The
more you improve the transport, the more people you get.
Yeah, you spot it. What did you spot that every time the State Highway 23 was improved over the next generation, there was an acceleration in population growth?
Yeah, well, of course, it didn't start just with State Highway 23. It started with having steamer service. So instead of having the odd sailing boat calling in from time to time when the captain thought they might make a profit by landing stuff here, they had a regular weekly steamer service. So that was the first improvement in transport, and it sort of carried on ever since.
Yeah, yeah. Disputes over paying for roads continued. Raglan County Council turned down a Waipa County plan to seal the main road as too expensive.
Yeah, well, there were continuous disputes between the counties as to who ought to pay for particularly bridges, because bridges, as you mentioned earlier, are particularly expensive, and they would try and work out how many of their ratepayers were using them and how many of the other counties' ratepayers were using them. Obviously, some counties were rather more keen to spend money and improve things than other counties, so there were often this sort of dispute as to whether it was worth doing something or not.
So here was a possible solution to pay for it, to help pay for the roads. A 12th of June 1924 Raglan County Council bylaw charged vehicle license fees of up to £50 according to size and weight. So you could buy a vehicle for less than £50, could you, in those days?
I think it probably would be about that price.
This
was mainly aimed at trucks and buses.
Okay.
And in fact, the local bus operator, Noel Robertson, took a case to court and got the fee reduced back to £5 because the judge was obviously not very keen on local councils because he made all sorts of biased remarks about them before awarding the case to Noel Robertson.
Ah, I see.
Things like, why am I having to do the work that should be being done by a county solicitor? So that was one of his comments. He obviously felt that local authorities weren't doing the job properly. So I think there was probably some ambiguity in the wording. So he decided to give the benefit of the doubt to the truck and bus operators and let them have a lower rate, which left the council with a problem of how to fund the roads because they were expensive and still are expensive.
Yeah, yeah, it's history repeats over and over again. And John, we've run out of time. I just want to mention something else you've got in here. Raglan was fuller of visitors this summer than ever before. They said in 1924 the Royal Hotel had 22 rooms. So popular tourist destination even then, and the roads were a key to that, no doubt, as well.
Yep. So next time the council delays publishing its agendas, as it has done for the meeting on Wednesday, we can talk about more of the history of 1924.
Yeah. Yes. All right, John. Thank you for your time, and we'll see you when you're back.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, there we go, folks. Just had close the Zoom meeting off there. And, that's me for the day. I'll be back again tomorrow morning. And as I said earlier, we're doing the swap. Normally I talk to John on Tuesday and Stephanie Philp on Monday. We did the swap. We're talking to Stephanie Philp 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.